World War I, also known as the War to End All Wars, lasted from 1914 to 1918. 9 million soldiers were killed, and historians say about an equal number of civilians were killed as well. But World War I did not end war. In fact, it set the stage for World War II, an even worse war, where from 45 to 60 million people perished. And far from bringing peace, the 20th century was the bloodiest in history, with endless wars and bloodshed. And those endless wars continued and have continued into the 21st century. The U.S. alone has troops in 135 countries and involved in actual shooting in many of them. Just recently, as you have probably noticed in the news, 4 soldiers were killed in Niger, if you know where that is. It's a little country in Africa. The world lacks peace. Wars follow wars. And some wag has said, Washington has lots of peace monuments. They build one after every war. But the lack of peace is not just seen in the battlefield. It's in our personal lives. 60,000 Americans died this past year of drug overdoses. Suicide is the second leading cause of death for teenagers. Our public discourse has become mired, as you have no doubt noticed, in hostility and in violence. And anyone who thinks differently about life is an enemy to be attacked. And we see no peace, no ability to get along with one another. Every relationship is fragile, even as our marriages, even in churches, in Christian marriages, fall apart. Man has no peace within himself, and no peace with others. So the cry is made around the world for peace. The longing is for peacemakers, someone to pour oil on the troubled waters that are threatening to swamp us all in violence and blood. And yet no effort to fix these things is successful. But Jesus says that his disciples, citizens of the kingdom, should be such people. He says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." There are 2 different concepts of peace. The first is a negative perspective. It's a viewpoint developed from the Greek philosophers. And they viewed peace as the absence of strife, an interpretation, an interruption rather, in the perpetual state of war, a period where there was no fighting. That is peace. And to be realistic, that's probably how most people even today think of peace. Peace is the absence of strife, whether it's between nations or whether it's in the home. When foes lay down their arms and stop shooting. From this viewpoint, we should interpret the words of Jesus as a blessing of the peaceable man, the one who avoids a fight, who avoids disagreement, the one who always gets along with others, the one who is willing to yield to any demands, if it means that there will be peace. Some parents are like this. They want peace in the family. So rather than requiring obedience from their children, a requirement that might shatter the peace and the harmony of the home by crying and pouting and unhappy children, they give in to almost any demand, so there is peace, quiet. But Jesus is not calling upon us to be diligent in avoiding conflict, to work at any cost to avoid strife and war. It certainly isn't how Jesus lived, is it? We are to reflect Christ in His mind and in His heart and in His actions. And yet He didn't act that way. On two separate occasions, Jesus instigated violence. He went into the courtyard of the temple where there were traitors oppressing worshipers and greedily forcing them to pay high and unfair prices in order simply to bring a sacrifice to God as He commanded. And Jesus, filled with anger at this unrighteousness, we're told, made a whip. And He went in and drove out the livestock, drove out the money changers, overturned the money changing tables. That was not avoiding strife, but instigating it. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 10:34, "Do not think that I came to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." And yet Scripture tells us Jesus is the Prince of Peace. This view of peace, that is, this negative view of peace, the absence of strife, is not the thrust of Jesus' words. He is not directing His people, His disciples, to be pacifists, nor teaching non-resistance to evil and wickedness. The second concept of peace is a positive one. It's the Hebrew perspective rather than the Greek one. To the Hebrew mind, peace was not the absence of something, but the presence of something, particularly, specifically, the blessing of God. Peace is wholeness. It is soundness. It is contentment. Peace has the idea of well-being, the prosperity of the whole person, all flowing from spiritual prosperity. We see this in the Hebrew greeting shalom, still used today. It means peace. But it doesn't mean simply peace. It does not mean, well, I hope you don't get into a fight with someone today. Rather, shalom is a greeting desiring one's well-being, soundness, wholeness, spiritually and physically. Someone has paraphrased it as, may you have all the righteousness and goodness God can give you. Or we might put it, may God bless you. It's quite a difference between these two concepts of peace, isn't there? One, a truce, a temporary cessation of hostilities. The other, spiritual wellness and wholeness, no matter what the surrounding circumstances might be like. Even when there is no peace in the first sense, the Greek sense of peace. It's a peace that you see in a bird's nest with baby birds in it, situated right next to a violent waterfall. Jesus has this Hebrew concept of peace in mind when he says, blessed are the peacemakers. Remember the context of this verse. The peacemaker of verse 9 is the one who has humbled himself before God, understanding his own spiritual bankruptcy. The one who is grieved by his own sin, humbled by it, and submitting himself both to God and to man. One who thirsts after righteousness, hungers after communion with God, and with an individual, undivided heart, showing mercy and kindness to others. The peacemaker is one who himself is at peace, has experienced peace, who enjoys that spiritual soundness and wholeness because he has peace with God. The real enemy of peace, in any sense of that word, is sin. Personally and in the world. The peacemaker is the one who realizes that the physical strife between people and between nations is a symptom. It is not the problem, but a symptom of the problem. And the problem is simple: sin. The peacemakers of the world work on the symptoms, and they fail. Whether it's the League of Nations, whether it's the United Nations, whether it's Doctors Without Borders, whether it's government drug programs, they do not deal with the problem, which is alienation from God, which is sin. And ultimately they fail. Christ's peacemakers deal with the problem, which is our relationship or lack thereof with God. And as they do so, they bring true peace. The peacemaker is the one who realizes that mankind is alienated from God, that we are at war with God, and desires to help others find true wholeness, true peace that is only found in Jesus Christ. Because as Jeremiah reminds us, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And Isaiah says there is no peace for the wicked. Our hearts are dead in sin. Deceitful, wicked, and we have no peace as a result. Sinners are at war with God. And that kind of heart can never be at peace with others. People fight. Nations fight because of sin. Deal with sin, and the fighting will stop. James chapter 4, verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that are at war in your members? Sin. Genesis gives us a clear example of this. The first recorded sin after the fall was the murder of Abel by his brother Cain. As the story unfolds, it's clear that the reason that Cain killed Abel was that Cain was not right with God, and he resented that Abel was. His anger at God was taken out against his brother, and he killed him. War with God breeds war with man. Christ came to the earth, took on humanity, and died upon Calvary to close that breach between God and sinners. And so Colossians 1:20 says, by Christ, to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or in heaven, having made peace through his blood on his cross. The peacemaker is the one who has come to peace with God himself. And having shod your feet, Paul says in Ephesians 6:15, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And so it's reflected in our lives. So the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 says, one of the fruit of the Spirit, if God is working in our life, is peace. And the true disciple of Jesus Christ stays at peace with God. When he sins, as we all do, he confesses that sin, knowing that God is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. But the peacemaker also realizes that those around him who are unpleasant, difficult, mistaken, ungodly in their living, are that way because they are at war with God himself. They're dead in trespasses and sins. And their foolish hearts, Paul says, are darkened. They need the peace of God that passes all understanding. A peace that does not come through drugs or alcohol or success at work or the distraction of pleasures. It's a peace that only comes through Jesus Christ. Paul writes of this to the Ephesian church. He says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from two, thus making peace. True peace. Peace with God. Peace with others. Is found only in Christ. The Pharisees were the exact opposite of what Christ is speaking of. In their pride and their arrogance, they were not interested in others. They wanted their own way, their own comfort. They really gave no real thought to the poor, to the needy, to the sinners all around them. And as a result, they created division and strife, enmity, rather than peace. Christ's disciples, peacemakers, desire others to enjoy true peace that only comes through Jesus Christ. But being a peacemaker goes beyond what we would call evangelism, to working for peace with God in our relationships with others. The peacemaker, the disciple of Jesus Christ, is not quarrelsome, does not delight in conflict. The peacemaker should be engulfed in a cloud, if you will, not of strife and division and contention, but of righteousness, of tranquility, of peace. Peace that comes from total trust and faith and confidence in the Lord Jesus. In relationships between various people or groups, the disciple is a peacemaker. Speaking of racial divisions between the Gentiles and the Jews, Paul tells again the Ephesian believers who are Gentiles But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off, that is, the Gentiles were removed from the people of God, the Jews, and what God was doing. They were aliens. You have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both, that is, Jew and Gentile, one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation. It's Ephesians 2:13. In personal conflicts, the disciple of Christ is a peacemaker. If your brother, Jesus says in Luke 17:4, if your brother sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to say, I repent, you shall forgive him. Paul applies this in Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. Christ's disciples do not pour gas on fires. Do not rise up to defend themselves and fight, but rather seek reconciliation and peace and fellowship and forgiveness, all to the glory of God. The peacemaker seeks harmony where there is conflict. So Paul writes in Romans 14:19, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Some Christians are always looking for combat, instigators of debate and disagreement, especially freshly minted Calvinists sometimes. I was one of them. I understand. But Christ's disciples are to seek reconciliation in peace, forgiveness, grace, not conflict. John Calvin makes this comment. By peacemakers, he means those who not only seek peace and avoid quarrels as far as lies in their power, but who also labor to settle differences among others, who advise all men to live at peace and to take away every occasion of hatred and strife. As citizens of the kingdom, you are to reflect your king. As Paul writes in Romans 15:33, our God is a God of peace. This beatitude calls you not just to be a peaceable person, but to be a peacemaker, an instigator of peace, to work actively for peace among those in conflict with God, with yourself, or with others. You have experienced the peace between yourself and God that comes through Jesus Christ, a peace that God Himself made possible while we were yet enemies. Being a peacemaker includes witnessing of the gospel. But it also means seeking all kinds of human reconciliation. This kind of attitude, this kind of heart, brings, Jesus says, the blessing of God. And Jesus says that such peacemakers will be called the sons of God, co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Being a peacemaker does not make you a Christian, but being a Christian will make you a peacemaker. And you will reflect to the world, all those around you, that you are a child of the living God who made peace with sinners through His Son, Jesus Christ. Shall we pray?